she just share with you that she's ready to go to the restroom? Oh, she's stuck. Okay. Yeah. Before I jump into our text today, I actually want to talk about a different text. It's a story that you probably have all heard, but I'm going to go over it again. There's a story about Jesus getting into a boat with his disciples. And they go out in the Sea of Tiberias, the Galilean Sea. And what happens is Jesus, they're out on this boat, and Jesus falls asleep, right? And then what ends up happening is Jesus is asleep, the disciples are sailing in the boat, these are experienced fishermen, they're in good hands, when a storm comes. The storm comes rolling through, and then what it tells us is that it starts taking on water. And so you can kind of get this experience that these disciples who are expert fishermen realize they are in for trouble. That their boat is now taking on water. They realize things do not look good. So they do what probably all of us do when we're a little scared and we need some help. They cry out to Jesus. And of course, Jesus pops up. He says, "Why are you worried?" Because we're taking on water, right? He speaks. The winds calm down. And they're now calm waters, right? And the disciples are just stunned. And when I often think about this, I imagine them just soaked with their jaws open. Like, what did we just go through? He takes them from a violent storm where they are afraid of dying and takes them to calm waters. He does what seems impossible, possible. And part of the reason I told this story today, this is actually the story that comes right before our gospel story today. In fact, if you listened at the very beginning, you would see this kind of weird image where Jesus is stepping onto land. He's literally getting off the boat that has just gone through this storm, and stepping onto land. And when he steps off, he encounters a man who is occupied by demons. A man who has been driven to live among the dead. A man who is naked. A man who has to be locked up and guarded. A man whose demons drive a herd of swine into the Sea of Galilee. This man is a man whose condition has consumed him. Consumed so much of his life, it has not only robbed him of his community, but it also has robbed him of his name. He is only known by Legion after the many demons that reside inside of him. And I imagine his condition was so bad that the people of his community had lost faith in his ability to be healed. They had come to accept that this man would always have this condition. So they did their best to manage it. But while they were unable to heal, Jesus was able to. He was able to bring peace to this man whose life was in chaos by calling out the demons that afflicted him and therefore setting him free, giving him peace. Just as he had given the disciples who came out of this chaotic storm into calm waters. He had taken this man who had this chaotic life out of control, as close to death as he could, and brought him back to peace. And when they found this man, they found him at the feet, right mind and calm. Ultimately, when we talk about life, we have to talk about the storms we encounter. And unfortunately, storms, just like every storm we see out in nature, some are lighter than others, Some are devastating. You know, we still, if you go up into the panhandle, you still see the effects of the hurricane. The devastation exists. And these storms come, when we talk about personal storms, we talk about them coming both internally and externally. And that they can be very devastating. Things that we can control and things that we really need somebody more powerful than us to help us with. And so what we find is that we have hope in Christ, that the love and power of Christ will free us and give us peace. That even if we feel like we're taking on water and we're really fighting for survival, we know that Christ is with us. That God will come for us, even in the midst of a storm. One of my favorite descriptions of what it means to be Christian is Luther's description that we are called to be little Christ. Many versions. And I think it's one of the best images for two reasons. First is that it acknowledges that we're supposed to be like Christ, but we're not Christ. We're just little Christ. That we're not quite as big and as powerful, but that we have a capacity to bring peace into our world, that we have an ability to accompany people in the midst of their storms and see if we can help navigate them just a little bit in the right direction, to help them get out of those stormy situations, to help them find peace. A couple weeks ago, I think about 2 weeks ago, I asked Sharon to come talk to us about family problems. And the reason I had asked her to come, I actually had a little bit longer experience with family problems. When I went to school in South Carolina, the church I attended was just beginning their family problems program. And as they were preparing for this program, they had a youth leader in the congregation. And this youth leader named Sarah had done family promise up in her home congregation up in Greenville, South Carolina. And when she talked about the story, she talked about this experience. She said, "I remember going with my mother to feed these people who were homeless. And when I went, I met these amazing people who were having the toughest day of their lives, who were struggling through the storm. And as they went through, you could see their life changing for the better." One of the things that's unique in Family Promise is if somebody's long enough in the program, you actually see them change. They'll come in and they're in a rough situation, and then they get close to graduation and you see them again. You see them, they develop skills. Budgeting skills. They worked on their parents and they've done all these amazing things forward. They grow. She says, "I want to help put it in Columbia." So Redeemer was one of the first of the 12. Family Promise always starts with 12 congregations. Was one of the 12. And so then I participated. And I saw that reality where families were changed. Then I moved down to Bluffton. And in Bluffton, they had family problems again. And once again, I saw families change. I can remember having to sleep on my couch in my office because we need somebody to be in the church. Watching these families who were trying to make it, who had children, that now had a place to stay, and were now being put onto a track to end their homelessness, to give them a sustainable chance, not only for them now, but into the future. That they don't have to live out of their car, but that they can have a place they call home. How you could see these people in the midst of the storm escape. So when I was talking to Father Alex around the time of Lee Hansgrohe, Father Alex is the priest at St. Vincent's Episcopal Church. We were sitting together and he said, "Have you heard about family promise?" And I said, "Of course I've heard about family promise. I've tried it all through my life in South Carolina. The short years in South Carolina have come through." Talking about changing lives. When we talk about ministry in the church, we find that ministry often comes in two forms. Sometimes what we call band-aid ministry. We're going to help right now to help somebody in the immediate need. Short-term thing. The other side of ministry is change. That we seek to change ourselves and change others so that they no longer are in need. Things that we see in Christ. We see in Christ who breaks bread for free and feeds thousands. We also see a Christ on a day like this who sees a man who is lost and heals him. Gives him the freedom that only God can give. But being followers of Christ, we do the things that we can and trust in God that the promise that God made on the cross, that I will set you free, is true. And because God lovingly sets us free, being little Christ, we try to do the same. And if we can change one person's life, we've done something amazing. Amen. Amen. Please join me in singing our gospel hymn.